Hey guys, welcome back. You're listening to the Home Staging Show podcast, and this is Season 2, Episode 5. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. If this is the first episode that you're listening to, this home staging podcast is all about learning how to create a beautiful home, whether it is for selling or for living. On today's episode, I'm interviewing Michelle Finnamore, who's an amazing home stager based in Toronto. I actually originally didn't plan on interviewing home stagers because I thought no one wants to hear about how great home staging is from home stagers. But I thought it could be also very eye-opening to interview home stagers with specific expertise, especially since every market deals with different types of trends and preferences. Listening to others' experiences can be very valuable for you as you're getting your home ready for sale. Michelle has an amazing business, which you'll hear all about on today's show. She's also one smart businesswoman. You can hear all about her business today. She has a background in construction, so she brings in a lot of unique insights and knowledge about return on investment to her home staging work. The main reason I want to interview her is also that she's on track to do 550 consultations for homeowners this year. That is right, 550. So I'm super excited to bring her on the show. Michelle's staging and design work has been featured on AGTV, Fox TV, and CBC Radio 1. Identifying the ideal client was a key factor in creating a home staging company that has attracted sellers and real estate agents that led her moniker to being named as the go-to girl when you're looking to sell a property. She also has some very impressive accolades. She is the 2015 and 2013 RESA Top 10 Stagers in Canada. RESA stands for Real Estate Staging Association. She's also the 2015 CSP International Masters of Staging. CSP stands for Certified Staging Professional, which is one of the largest home staging training schools in North America. She's also the 2015 Maria Killam True Color Expert. Before we get started today, I just want to give you a quick update and a little plug about our unique real estate product, EcoJoe. EcoJoe is an eco-friendly St. Joseph statue home selling kit. In real estate, there's a tradition to pray and bury St. Joseph statue in your yard for good luck in selling your home. And we had designed and made an eco-friendly one that is made with 100% clay. You can find our EcoJoe products in our shop at stagemore.com/shop, along with other products like open house checklists and e-courses on home staging, like our signature course, Stage Your House Like a Pro. If you're a home stager or home design professional listening to this show, don't forget the registration for our November Napa Valley Retreat is closing. You can find more information on our website as well, just by going to www.stageformore.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're really busy, and especially now it's a crazy season for staging, so I'm sure you have a lot to do. So I really thank you for coming on the show.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and I always like to share the knowledge around, and we make sure everybody's on the same page and we're moving forward. Staging's still a young industry for a lot of areas in the country, and we like to make sure that we're educating people in how the process actually works.
Yeah, no, that's why I thought it was really important. When I first started the show, I was kind of like, maybe I shouldn't interview home stagers because obviously everyone's going to talk about how great home staging is, and that's going to be a really boring show. But then I thought about it because there are a lot of things, actually, there are a lot of nuances of what we do that the homeowners don't necessarily realize. So it's actually really great to talk about it, especially talking about the behind-the-scenes stuff. So people have more understanding of how our business operates and also what they can learn from the process as well. As we know, not all cities have home stagers, unfortunately. So it's nice to be able to have access for them for all the information and knowledge out there.
That's right. I'm glad to be part of that program with you.
Yeah. So thank you so much. So most of our listeners are not familiar with your business. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and how did you get into liner work? And also talk about your business, obviously.
Okay. I've been in the home staging industry for 8 years. I was in the construction business for years. We had a company that supplied gas lines to new residential sites. So we would, you know, gas pipe over 5,000 houses a year. But my father was a carpenter renovator. So I had a lifelong experience with tiling and drywalling and renovation, dust, and whatever, all the things that you see on those TV programs. So I actually lived it, didn't think anything about it. But eventually I was introduced to The House Doctor on TV. It was an English program on BBC Canada. And my husband looked at me and he says, you know, you should do this. You have all the skill set to do it. You should look into it. So I did. I took a training course. And from the minute I took the training course, I was in business doing it because I could see where it would actually create value for agents and for homeowners and be a very viable business model for myself. And I was very lucky because within the first 6 months of being in business, HGTV found my website, said they liked the look of my work and would I consider being featured on one of their TV shows. So we did agree to do that. And no, you don't get paid for doing those things usually back then in those days. Yeah. So what you did get was a lot of marketing out of it. And it did. It launched my career by being on that one show. I actually ended up being on two or three shows, not me personally, but my work. And that's all it takes is to have the credibility in the industry to go forward like that. Then I was found by a brokerage firm. They were building in an 18,000 square foot real estate brokerage. And I didn't know that's what they were doing, didn't know who the people were. It was an entirely different city than where I lived. Again, they found me online, and I cannot stress enough the importance of having a blog that shows your work before and after. And that's how they found me, and they asked if I would do a couple consultations for them, and I did, and I went in to meet them, and that's when I learned that they were building this big building, which they called a village. In other words, they had a bank there, they had a mortgage broker, they had home inspectors, title searchers, all the agents, and there was my office beside the owners. So I thought he was a little crazy at first, and I went, how do you know me? How did you find me? But eventually I said yes, and it's been one great adventure after another being there. Now, I do work for all brokerages, all brands, but I do maintain an office there. There's over 500 agents, so of course they introduce you to all types of business, whether it be design, industrial, commercial, retail, residential, and product photo shoots, things like that. They have clients that have needs and wants, and if you're willing and able and that you can provide those services, then you have a steady stream of clients when you do that. So that's where I am, and yes, it is a very busy time of year for us here in our area. The next 4 weeks are some of the busiest weeks of the entire year.
That sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. That's great.
It's been an unbelievable trip this whole last eight years, and you just never know what's coming up next, and it's always exciting, and some jobs you wonder how you're ever going to pull them off, but you do, because you don't realize in your lifetime all the different skill sets that you have, how they come into play for a particular client that you might have. And that's another thing. I'm very, very particular about which clients I take on. I already know who my ideal client is. That comes from years and years of being in business, but you should really concentrate. If you don't know how to do that, learn how to do it so that you're always taking on work that helps either grow your business, maintain your business, the type of business that you want to be doing, and working with the type of clients that you want to be working with so your days run smoothly.
That's a really great advice. As you know, like we come in contact with new stagers all the time, especially now the market's hot. There's more and more new stagers coming on the market. And mm-hmm. I find that a lot of them actually don't know who their customers are. So they're trying to hit everybody. And it becomes an issue. Yeah.
It does. And so for them to succeed and be successful and not have to wait 10 years for it to happen, the sooner that they decide that they can identify who their ideal client is, and they may have two or three different types of ideal clients. I do. It depends what area that I'm servicing. But they definitely have to fit the profile of me saying, yes, I want to have them as a client. And therefore, another thing is you're not being paid by the hour for being there. You're being paid for all the hours that you've been in your lifetime learning and being there and servicing them. So that's where you don't want to be working for wages, because if you're going to work for wages, you may as well work for someone else and let them have all the headaches of owning and running a business. Mm-hmm. But if you are charging correctly and you're providing a level of service that they're expecting, then you can have a very successful business and be in business for years and have the run of it from there. And I never concern myself with what new stagers are doing. If they phone me and ask me and want to learn how to do things, yes, I will coach them. I do charge by the hour to do that. But every single one of them that I've ever done has gone on to entering our association contests for their work. And they generally all come in the, at least the running of it, or the like number one, two, or three, or they actually win the category. So always find yourself a good mentor. Don't be afraid to share information. I tell everybody everything because I know 99% of people will never use anything that I tell them, and that's fine. But that 1% that takes it and runs with it, they have a very successful career.
That is amazing. And that goes, I feel like, with everything in life. If you just really focus that on one, that 1%, like that Gary Keller's new book, The One Thing.
That's right.
You just focus on one thing, you can actually go really, really far.
That's right. And myself, I was very, very lucky when I was a young person, just 21, and I was in direct sales for 18 years, which taught me a lot. But because I had a mentor that was 70 that had been trained by Zig Ziglar. Mm. Now, anyone who knows who Zig Ziglar is knows how important that was. Mm. I didn't know who Zig Ziglar was at the time. There's no such thing as the internet way back then. So I had no way of knowing, and he never said anything. But that's where all those sales skills came from, and the fact of being consistent in your work and really knowing who your clients are and making sure that you're reaching them. There's no sense blasting out, you know, information or paying for advertising and you don't know where it's going to. So in this day and age, it's very easy to do targeted marketing. And you should always try and do face-to-face meetings, especially if you're a new stager. Do get involved with charitable organizations so that you can show off your work. So no, you're not getting paid to do it, but you get lots of press. You get to be on TV, radio, hopefully. And plus the general population in that network that you're working within gets to know who you on a personal level and what you're like to work with. And that's how you build your business. And that's what I did when I first started. When I very first started, there was a show on the radio on the internet called The Staging Diva. Not Staging Diva. I'm sorry. I'm saying it wrong. I can't remember the name of the show right now, but it was a radio show, and it was Gina McNew. And she actually had a lady on. They were talking about having three listings on a lake where they lived in Michigan, I believe. And that they hadn't sold, and that they were going to ask an artist to put some artwork in, have a little art show, invite people out, and one of her houses sold that weekend. So that worked for her. So what I did was I went to my local college, when the city I lived in at the time, they had a fine arts program. I asked them to give me 5 students, and would the head of the department please install all the artwork and show them how, and they have their day gallery for that day. So he was teaching them a viable skill. I went to Habitat, and I said, you're building a house this year. Wouldn't you like to have access to donations and volunteers? And then I went to the real estate offices and said, I need 5 houses one weekend for this open house. And that's how we did it. And I was on a national radio station with it. People came from hours away. They traveled to attend it. And one of those 5 houses sold that weekend as well. So we had great results for everybody. Habitat loved it because they got donations and they were able to get volunteers and raise awareness of what they were doing in the community.
That's amazing.
So that's what you call a win-win-win-win all the way around.
Yeah, no, we love that. Time. Yeah, in real estate, definitely. Yeah. And so the reason why I brought you on was I know that you just celebrate a huge milestone for your consultations. Can you tell our listeners how many have you done so far?
Well, so far this year, we're on target for hitting over 500 this year. Right now, we're sitting at 435, I think it is. So we still have quite a number of weeks to go in the year. And we should hit about 550 this year. So that's a lot of consultations. They generally take an hour and a half to 2 hours to do. And we leave them with a written page-by-page, room-by-room booklet that lets them know the suggestions. They can try and do it themselves. They can hire us to help. We can do the whole job. Whatever service level they require, that's what we offer them as a consultation fee. At the end of it, we give them our fees for that.
Okay. So to clarify for those listeners who are not familiar with home staging consultation, can you talk about what exactly you do during these appointments?
All right. So what we do is we explain at the beginning of it that the reason that we're doing this consultation is because the agents that we work with, we're part of their team. We prepare their listings, prepare their properties for the listing photos. So that is what we're there to do. We're marketers. So I very rarely use the word home staging because it has its own connotations, especially when people watch TV shows and things. So what we actually come in and do is give them point by point what they actually need to do. So one of our big things is that they must organize their closet so it looks like a store. And I explain it to them that, you know, IKEA sells billions of dollars of stuff around the world every year. Right. But when I get to people's houses, it never looks like that. But people buy the idea of being in control, and that's how you do it. Mm-hmm. So when you see a lot of our listing photos, the closets, no matter whether they're done up to the nines or they're just a regular closet, but they are photographed because they are stunning. We actually stage the inside of the closets. Now, we ask that the homeowners do it because we don't want to be involved with them not being able to find something that they're looking for. So that is something that they spend the time doing that. The other thing that we do, we always stage the outside, inside, outside. We make suggestions. You're either renting it, buying it, or you're going to borrow it from family and friends. But we do, this is how we create value in every square foot of your home. So we run by them. The reasons why we're doing this is that everyone thinks their house is the best one on the street. Everyone wants to list at the top of the market. If you're going to do that, then your home has to reflect that value in the eyes of the buyer. So we help them by giving them ideas of how to make that happen. So we'll say last night there was a 4-bedroom home, just a couple there. They didn't have any kids or anything. And I said, do you have friends that have, you know, a crib that they could lend you? Fine. Let's make this little tiny small bedroom, which most people would just dismiss as being no value at all. What are you going to do with this room? We're going to make this the nursery. So they were cooperative with that. They're going to contact their friend. They're going to borrow that crib set. Whereas I can rent it to them, but my goal is always I'm part of the team for the agent. I'm trying to get their listing in the best possible value enhanced look for the buyer. So it doesn't matter to me whether they rent from me or not. I don't own my own rental furniture. I use a company. So it's not money going into my pocket. So either borrow it or rent it, go buy it. It doesn't matter, but we need to create some value here. And sometimes they can't do it. There's either budget or time restraints, and that's fine. But the suggestions are always made because that's my job, is to go in and make the suggestions. They do as much as they feel comfortable with and how much they can do per their budget and for the time allowed. And I always tell them, when you're done and you're ready, that's when we take listing photos. You do as much as you can. And so we are great motivators, and they know they can call us afterwards if they have any, you know, a couple of quick questions. Did you mean this, or am I supposed to do that? That's fine. Our goal is to get that listing in the best possible shape.
That's amazing. So do most of your homeowners end up doing it themselves, or you come in and help them do it?
I service a wide area, right from downtown Toronto, a large city on the lake, all the way up to what they call horse country. Mm-hmm. So wide open fields, lots of horse farms, a great variety of people, and they're whether they think they can do things or not. So the ones up north are more accustomed to doing things on their own. And it's just now, 8 years in, it's changing where they are renting furniture from us now. Mm. I have my own rentals in far, like I'm known for my artwork because I do, most of the houses in our area are very large homes with large walls. So I have over 400 pieces of artwork that are very, very large. Mm-hmm. So I get called to stage because of that, because again, I've identified my ideal client and I know that's what they require. So that's what I'm known as, is that person that can supply that, because most stagers do not make the investment into artwork.
Right.
They're very expensive. That's right. But I find that's where you're making your money, is when you have that niche. So that's not something for a new stager to think about, is bit by bit, can you invest into this? Right. So the condos downtown, the big luxury homes that we service mostly in our area, yes, they all rent from us. They rent furniture, they rent artwork, lamps. It's a funny thing in our area. It gets dark at 4 o'clock at about November time into spring, and people don't have lamps. So we have many, many lamps, like over 100 sets of lamps. So that's what we do. We take those out. We provide bedding if the house is not occupied. If they're not, we offer shopping services to supply that. The people up north, you're right, most often they're just going to borrow, or they're going to just go out and quickly and get a few things themselves. But it's just changing now. Now, 8 years later, they actually are starting to rent furniture from us, and accessories and accent pillows and artwork. And a funny thing is happening. This just started happening maybe 3-4 months ago. Now we're getting agents calling and saying, I've seen your houses. I want you to do that for my client. That was not happening until just this past summer.
That's awesome, though. That's really, really great. Yeah.
So if I had given up hope in all the last 8 years of servicing that area, I wouldn't be now saying this is now a good 30% of my business.
Yeah, because basically you're slowly building that business up. And I think that's a really great point, because I think most new stagers get into the business think that they can get rich quick. And that's not true. I mean, it took a long time.
Any business.
Yeah, any business. It took a long time for my business to turn a profit and to get to the six-figure stage. And it's different, you know, and a lot of time people get into business, they think, oh, it looks so easy on television, but it actually is not. There's actually a lot of things that go behind it.
Well, this is what I encourage people to. Some people only do consultations. That is their business model. Well, that's a certain type of business model.
Yeah.
I can't do that because of where my office is located. They're looking to me to motivate these people and get their houses ready. Now, because I have a renovation background, I can call somebody this afternoon, one of my trades, and I've known them for years, and they'll go tonight, give a price, and they'll have a team there tomorrow ripping that bathroom out and renovating it if that's what it's required. So I don't know many stagers that can pull that off. Again, that's my niche because I have a construction background. So again, you have to identify what is it that you can do that's better than anybody else and everybody knows it. So on my license plate on my vehicle, it says go to girl because everybody knows you want it done. Go to that girl.
That's awesome. I love that. That's it.
Yeah, it works well. And it's funny because I was up in the country, as I said, up north. And when I answered the door, the lady answered the door and she looked at my license plate and she goes, oh, I know your truck. I've seen it around. And I said, well, hopefully I haven't cut you off at some point. I'm very sorry if I have. And she goes, no, I just remember the license plate. So it was kind of funny, the introduction, right? But definitely, you know, it's starting where now it's even more accepted up there. And I'm telling you, it is a country setting. So don't give up hope. The stagers that are out there in the outlying areas, not near a major city, it is changing.
Yeah, it does take time to build up that business. And I think that's great. You also brought up the business model where there's some people only do consultation. Like for me, I know my niche is doing smaller starter homes, 2,400 square feet and below, done in one day. And that's my niche. We can do that. We can go in and out very fast and get it done for our clients. And we can still build a six-figure business. Like I know there are people like Michelle Minch in LA, and she does big, big houses, you know, 15,000 square feet. That's not my niche, and I know that very well. But she does that very well for her.
She does, yes. Yeah. And our area is the same thing. They're mostly, you know, 5,000, 7,500 would be a medium-sized house, and then there's the 10,000 to 15,000 square foot houses. So, yes, that's another niche business in my area, which we service. And again, the clients like us, well, me in particular, do that particular consult, not someone that's working for me, because I know how to work with that type of client. What the level of service that they're requiring, and I know how to handle the conversation. That's another part is, what's your background? Where do you come from? Do you know, are you accustomed to working with business people like that are accustomed having their own way? They're the boss, but you're coming in and you're telling them, look, you need to change this. And that you have to get them motivated enough to actually say, yes, go ahead, please do it. So that's another skill set. And I always ask people when they are telling me they're thinking about becoming a home stager, when as soon as they say they like to decorate, I go, okay, well, we have to look beyond that because that's not what we're doing. This is actually marketing. Have you ever done marketing?
Right.
I know I love people that have worked for The Gap at some point in their lifetime because The Gap is master marketers. So I actually did their windows once for one month just so I could see how they do the layouts because they send them the picture every morning, right?
Yeah.
And I wanted to see.
And then send it down to all the stores.
That's right. So I did that. And yes, it was only minimum wage, but I did it when I first started my home staging business. I did it over a Christmas period. My daughter happened to work in the same store and I went in, but I did it for a reason because I needed to know that information, and who better to learn from than somebody who's a master at it. Yeah. So you have to look at, if you don't have some skill sets, then please go ahead and work with someone who does so that you can gain those skills. I worked with a lady that all she did through university was make the beds at a very high-end hotel at Lake Louise out in Western Canada. I learned how to make beds from her. Mm. It's a simple thing. But it isn't.
It makes really, a huge difference. Yeah. Even just the height of the bed.
Yes. So this is why it's so important that agents need to know your job is to get listings and to find buyers. Anything else, you should be having someone else do. And I don't care if you're saying that you're going to show up and sweep their front porch for them. No. Have somebody that you can assign that does those kind of things. And don't be doing staging because you can make way more money being an agent. So please go do that. That's what your profession is. Please don't let your client see you being the person who's taking the garbage can out. Yeah, you need to actually concentrate on what it is on your skill set that you've paid a lot of money to get a license to do.
Exactly. So yes. What are some of the important things that you look for when you go on a consultation?
The important things that we look for in the property, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so what we're looking for is, number one, it has to be light and bright for someone to make a decision to buy that house. Darker colors are great when you're living there. Do whatever you want. Do it in your next house. But in this house, you have to paint it a lighter color. And our association actually works with a paint company. They do give us some paint colors to use. And when you get there, you see which one works with the cabinets, the tiles, whatever. And I'm a culprit of that as well, because when I go to sell my house is always painted dark. I have to paint it light. It almost kills me to do it. So I get it, what homeowners are going through, and I relay that story to them. So always try to remember to relay a story while you're trying to do that motivational talk with your homeowner to get them to make the changes, because then they go, okay, yeah, okay, you're I'm just like you then. Okay, so they identify with you, they identify with the issue, and then they move forward. The second thing we always are trying to do, as you know, is to make space. So I carry green painter's tape with me, and I put a piece of green tape on everything that needs to go. Green means go. So there's no question about what's staying, what's going. This is what's going. Our houses here, where we live in particular, have enough stuff in them for at least three houses. So I actually use the reverse system. I put the green tape on what's staying. Anything that doesn't have green tape on it is going. Please pack it. So from there, I work with two companies that they actually do that part of the job. I do not do that part. And then when it's ready, then we go in and we do the staging work. And from there, we're looking for maintenance issues. I do outline all of those as well, because I do have a construction background. If I have asthma, so basically if I go in a basement, then we have a real problem around here where you can have water in the basement, then you have the mold and things like that. I just let them know right away, you need to call somebody and get this solved. And it's better to get it solved, or at least get a price to get it solved, so then you're giving your agent something to negotiate with. When you're asking top dollar, they're coming in at a lower rate. And you can say, well, this is actually how much money it's going to cost to fix this issue. And then you have something to bargain with. So because I have a sales background, I actually discuss those types of things to help the homeowner be motivated to make the changes. So yes, you may need shingles. You may not have the money to do the shingles or the time, but I want you to get a quote for getting shingles that's good for 3 months. And that's what you put on the negotiating table when they say, oh, we're going to take, you know, $15,000 off to do the shingles. Well, no, actually, this is how much it costs. It's $5,600. So now you're able to raise the asking price, hopefully. So that's how we work with our clients, is we actually give them all the types of information they need to make the deal go forward.
Mm, that's awesome. I love that you have a construction background, because then you can really come back and say, you know, this is going to cost how much to do your kitchen, stuff right. like that.
That's right. So we paint kitchen cabinets all the time. In our area, we have a ton of the golden oak kitchen cabinets. And we have great painters that come in and do them up for us. And they do. They look brand new. They're done professionally. So it looks good. It's not like when a homeowner does it.
Yeah.
I really caution people about doing things like that themselves. You can't ask top dollar when you've done it yourself, because you're not a professional. Simple as that. And I explain it to people. I can't show up at your work and do what you do all day long. So please don't try and do the painter's job. You know, it's worth the pennies to do that, right?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And usually if you have an older kitchen and bath and the homeowner really has very limited budget, what do you usually recommend them to do?
Okay, if they don't have a budget, I recommend that they do paint it themselves, okay? If they have a bit of a budget, please hire the painter. If you have a bit more budget, option three is we're going to replace it. And I have my guy come in right away and it's done. So recently we did one. It's a very sought after high-end market, and we had the house bank appraised. That's how our real estate deals go here. Everyone typically gets a bank appraisal first of the property. That's just something that's done. And we had that done, and we did three of their main bathroom, the ensuite, and the daughter's bathroom on the upper floor. It was $18,000 we spent, and they were ready in 3 weeks. The house then sold for $110,000 more than what it was just appraised for the 3 weeks before. It took 5 days to sell it. So it's pretty hard to argue with numbers like that. But again, I have a construction background. I could pull trades in that would come right away. They do their work each day. They don't leave till the job is done. They clean up every day. They make everything nice, right? So everybody's in a happy camper at the end of this renovation. And plus the two owners were both CAs. So, I mean, they just couldn't believe how much money they just made. And I went, well, that's what happens when you call in the right professional to help you with your renovation of your house. And then, of course, to sell it, to stage it.
What is CA?
So that's the Chartered accountant, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that makes total sense. When you put out like dollar and cents like that for a seller, it really makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. But, and so people will ask you, and I'm sure they ask you too, is like, well, how much can I expect to make from this? And I always come back with, I can't give you a solid number. Even your bank will give you a range. If you install a swimming pool, you probably are not going to get more money for your house because 50% of people don't want the pool.
Yeah,
so exactly. That's not a great investment. If you renovate your bathroom, this is how much you can expect to gain on it. Okay, so that you can get those simple numbers from a bank. I only relate stories that are for that particular neighborhood that I'm working in. Did you see this house for sale? Yes, you did. Great. Okay, this is what we did there. This is what it sold for. They were trying to sell it for 2 months at this. It didn't work. We did our work and then we sold it for this. Now, when a new stager starts, they don't have stories like that. So they have to wait a little bit to get the information that they can actually start using that in their presentation and in their consultation when they go to the house. But that's how you do it, is bit by bit, house by house. And what's the old saying? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So that's, you just can't be in so much of a hurry, and you have to actually build a solid foundation, and then you move forward from there. And that's the same as any business. It doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing. That's how you have to start.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Cindy.
Oh, I was going to say, it's also very market dependent. Like in Bay Area, I usually recommend against it just because most homeowners don't have the knowledge like you do. They don't really have the time to supervise a contractor that they're hiring for the first time. So it became a more risky situation. But for investors, I definitely.
So you wouldn't do that.
Yeah. And also,
we're with a ton of investors.
Huh? I'm sorry, what?
We do work with a lot of investors. Yeah. I understand what you're saying. But when I send my guy, he is the GC. They don't have to supervise anything. He's supervising it and he brings his trades in. So they just go to work and come home at night. That's it.
Yeah, that's a great investment in that sense. And for us too, there's a lot of older bathroom here in the 50s. But actually a lot of the Bay Area people actually like it. So a lot of times we actually just say, you know, just keep it. Because most of the time buyers do keep it as is. Or if they decide to remodel, that's usually down the line for them. So
it's down the line. That's right. And yes, I do encourage people to keep the ones that are in very good condition, but they're from the 50s because they're all those fun colors. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's all coming back in again.
Yeah.
And even in our area. So absolutely, you must always look at what your area is demanding. And if you have that, then work with it. Don't try and change it. Don't try and lead the pack. Always give people what they're looking for. And that's how I explain it to the homeowners and to the agents, is that if you show people what they're looking for, they will buy it. So everything you see, all the magazines that we have here have white kitchens and gray walls. Well, then you better make sure as much as possible you can make that happen. But if not, then you're going to incorporate by changing out the light fixtures. Here, vintage gold is coming back in really strong. They've been trying to lead for 5 years. Nobody was buying it. And nobody was buying it for 5 years. Now, all of a sudden, everybody wants vintage gold. Okay, now's the time to start putting those lights in. But if you put them in 5 years ago, it would have been wrong, even though they were everywhere and they were in New York, you know, even years before that. So you really do have to know your local market. Can't stress that enough. And then from there, bedding, you know, right now, flowered bedding is supposedly all coming back in style. Well, not in our area. Okay. So if you're down south and I love Melissa Merrill. She does some great work. She does a lot of painted chalk, painted furniture.
Mm-hmm.
That goes over really well in her area. It does not go in our area.
Yeah. For us, that's going out. Yeah. For us, that's going out already. People are kind of tired of that trend. So it just depends how trend travel in different parts of the country, actually the world, depending on, it's very largely dependent on what your local market is responding to.
Exactly. And also how much light you have. I was saying a little bit earlier about how in our area, come like another, I don't know, 3 weeks, it's going to be dark at 4 o'clock and we don't see the light again until after 8 o'clock the next morning. So we tend to huddle. it's winter and we stay inside, or you're out skiing where it's brilliant white snow. But when you come in, you want a fire and you want it to be warm and cozy. So it's an entirely different thing than a market, say, where you are, right?
Yeah,
so you have to really understand your colors well. And that's another thing, is I did end up taking a true color course. So I'm actually certified now. I was always good at picking out undertones, but you really, really need to understand how to pick out undertones. There's nothing worse than specking a color, and then once it's all up and you go, oh my gosh, that doesn't look very good with those tiles. Yeah. In that kitchen cabinet. So a new stager should always invest in that. And in our area, pink stores will often give colors, but they just pick off those little triangles that they do, the triangle of right. colors. Mm-hmm. They don't know that it's going to work in the person's house. You have to actually be standing in the house to do those colors.
And look at the light. And, yeah.
Yes, and look at the light. And that's how I do it and how we have such success. And usually I always say, like, when the men are standing in the room and saying, wow, this really looks better. Well, you know you've done your job properly mm-hmm. because usually they don't really take too much notice of these things, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I would love we're talking about this because there's just so many things that go into our jobs and that most people don't yeah. realize. Like, a lot of realtors who don't really work with a home stager, they just think that we just show up and move furniture in. I mean, like this any movers can do that, right?
That's right. But when the mover does it, it doesn't look like when we do it. So again, I used to work in a photography studio. So everything in the house has been faced for the photographer. Not a lot of stagers have that experience. There's nothing wrong with going and getting some experience doing that or actually studying other people's work to see how they're doing things. Go visiting model homes, go visiting stage jobs. And pretty soon, even if you don't know who's done the staging job, you can see when something's done correctly and when it isn't. Mm-hmm. So you have to self-educate. And in an area where you were saying earlier, where maybe there isn't much staging going on, well, you're going to have to be doing this online. So, you know, join some groups and start studying yeah. and follow the leaders and see how they do things. And I've learned so much. I was actually a member of ActiveRain.com from just about when it started.
And oh, me too. I've been forever,
though. Were you? Oh, okay. Because that's where I met Michelle Minch and all these people yeah. that are leaders in the industry and truly, truly respect all their work that they do and have learned so much from each other. I can't say enough. So it's not in as much use now as what it used to be, but it's still where I keep my blog. So it's something that I do encourage people.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. I think I got on it in 2006 and then... ActiveRain went through a lot, I think, ownership-wise. So, yeah, I haven't been
now. They've just changed again. So it's going back to the old ways. So thank goodness.
Yeah.
So they lost me for a little while there, but I didn't do too much on it. But I'm definitely back there doing things again. So again, agents especially love when you do before and afters. Now, in my contract, it says I have permission that I can use their pictures in my marketing. However, I never put the befores on till after the house is closed. So mm-hmm. you can't.
For privacy, yeah.
So I don't mm-hmm. think it's very good yeah, for privacy information reasons, right? So, but the agents, when you're doing a presentation in their office, yeah, you should absolutely have your before and afters.
Yeah. I don't post address either, just for privacy reason. I might post what street is. Yeah, we don't put numbers on it. Yeah.
I put areas too, subdivisions, because then people know if I want to move to Valora Woods, this is a house in Valora Woods. So that's where the interest peaks. And then when they're doing their search online, you're very easily found. And then, of course, there's always the presentation I do. I always use the cakes, and I have done it at Risa. And people 8 years later still remember that presentation. So I know it works, and it's a simple thing, but when people say they want to do it themselves, that's why I show them the cake demonstration.
Yeah. Well, because like, for example, for consultation, you're going to do 550 alone, like this year, just this year. And you've probably done, how many have you done in your lifetime so far as a stager?
Oh my gosh.
Thousands.
I'm going to say a lot. Thousands.
Right? So it's different than when a homeowner or an agent who's doing it for the very first time. So it's not to knock the DIY people. I'm all for DIYing, but just so that I think a lot of times, like when I give recommendations to the homeowners, they feel very stuck or they feel frustrated because they can't do it the way I do it. But I was like, well, but I have more practice because I do this for a living.
Exactly.
It's like what you said. Exactly. It's like, I can't go into your job and do your job. You know, it's different because you have more practice at your job and I have more practice at mine.
Exactly. So. And I explain to people, when I look back at all the cakes I made for my daughters, because I used to have a theme every year, right?
Mm.
Right. And I was so proud of them at the time and I thought I'd done them to perfection. But when I look back at the pictures now, I go,
Yeah, even my early staging photo, I'm like, ugh, you know, like it just, you've done it more. My year one and my year 10 now, it looks very different. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what I explain to people. And yet I do have some homeowners that actually I end up hiring them when I need spares, when we get really busy, because they do actually get it. Now, they don't want to do home staging, but they do like to come out once in a while. So basically, I hire them on that basis, right, as a subcontractor, because I know they get it. They can actually see it. And that's what I explain to people is, you know, only 98 or 2% of the population can actually see something that isn't there. The other 98% can't. That's why there aren't very many engineers in the world, because they have to be able to envision something and how they're going to make it happen. And that's basically what we're doing. We're envisioning something. So when I go through a house, I do go into a bit of a trance, because I'm actually thinking in my head, how am I going to do this? And what inventory would I pull? And this is what it would end up looking like. And so I never take notes when I'm in a house ever. I leave the notes, the 16-page booklet with the homeowner. I don't take pictures typically. And yet they'll call me 3 weeks later and I pick the order and it's packed and it's out. And today we came back, we had one decor accessory left over. That was it.
Awesome.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So it's, and but as you say, I could not go to that person's job and do their job like that. So that's why we encourage them by all means to let us at least assist. Or I actually offer a service which most people take advantage of. If they've done the work themselves, I go in and I do what's called a before the photo shoot session. So they pay me a minimum fee to go, and I go through each room and I make sure everything's faced for the photographer. So that way, at least, it is looking more professionally done than if we just let the photographer go in there after they've done the work.
That's awesome. And this is going to sound weird. I think it's a kind of weird question, but I get asked this all the time. Do you always recommend home staging? Like, are there any instances where you don't recommend staging at all?
Yes. If they have serious structural issues or maintenance issues, I always tell them, please fix these issues first, because this is going to stop the sale of the house, or you're going to get a lowball offer and you won't be happy. So the order of preference is you do the maintenance issues, then you paint, because it always makes it look brand new. Then you professionally clean. And yes, we do recommend a professional cleaning company, because most people don't clean as well as a professional company does. And that even involves, like, you know, steaming the grout line so they come up clean. And then we stage. Okay.
Yeah. That's a great, then that's a great point. Yeah. I didn't know you can steam clean the grout line. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's when you were talking earlier about details. That's the kind of details that we get into.
That's awesome. And then who usually pay for a consultation? Does the agent
in
pay?
It's the agent. Yeah, the agent typically pays, but I always suggest if they haven't got the listing signed yet, or they're not sure that the client's going to carry out much of it, their conversation goes like this. I'm quite willing to offer this at this level of service. I offer three levels of service. And at this level, the home staging consultation is a complimentary feature of my marketing plan for your property. So no other agent is sitting there and speaking with them like this. So it sets them apart right away about why somebody would want to list with them. And then when they say, yeah, well, the other agent pays for the staging, and you, and what you have to introduce at that moment by the agent is saying, please clarify that with them, because I think what they mean is the consultation. They are not paying for the staging. I only work with two agents out of 500 that pay for the actual staging, but only up to a certain limit. They'll say it's either 500, 2000, 4500, whatever it is. But, and then they get reimbursed on closing for that fee. So they do pay it up front to help out, but then they get reimbursed. And they take a very long listing. They know they're going to sell it probably in a month, but they'll take a listing for a year just to make sure the person isn't going with some other agent after they've put the money into it. So we educate the agents on how to have these conversations as well. So we are there as a resource for them to know how to word these things, because they really don't know. So this way you're helping them move forward with their clients and getting more listings. And then from there, we will say to the homeowner the same thing, is that you need to, if you're paying for this consultation, your agent will reimburse you when you sign with them. So I get many phone calls just from my website saying, we'd like you to do a consultation. My first question is, do you have an agent? No, you don't. Okay, I can give you three referrals if you wish. Or at some point, whoever you hire, you ask them, are they going to reimburse you for the home staging consultation? And then move forward on that basis.
That's amazing. And then in your experience, what are some of the things that are often overlooked by the homeowners?
Yes, there's so many things often overlooked. So the big one is when they photograph the bedrooms, and they haven't removed the things from underneath the bed. It can be a beautiful room like a magazine, and then you'll see a red bag underneath the bed or skis or whatever it is.
It's always red. I don't know why.
I don't know why, but it is. And then the other thing is linens that are not straight. You can see it in a second. So how I describe it to people is, you know, when you go to a wedding and you're all beautiful and you all have your hair done, your makeup, beautiful dresses, but the photographer forgot to tell you that that little, the closure on your necklace is hanging down where everybody can see it. Wow. For the next 30 years, all you look at is that little clasp, even though everything is perfect in the picture. So that's how we describe what we do to the homeowners and to the realtors, is we make sure all the details are taken care of.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's really, they say devil's in the detail. It really is in the details.
It really is. The other one is, my favorite saying is, there's only one bride in every room, okay? Mm. And if it's a fireplace, don't have things all around it and on it, because the bride is there. Please don't put anything by her. And then they usually want to try and have, you know, whatever beside the fireplace. And I always say, that's like my brother, who's like standing in the background giving you the peace sign, you know, and, you know, what they call that, photo bombing. That's no funny. Photo bombing. And they laugh and it takes the tension away and they go, okay, fine. Okay, we'll take that away. But they try to have big plants and things there and whatever. I'm going, no, you have to take the plants away. If you were in the plant business, I'm all for you showing off all your plants. But please, please, please put your plants away when we're staging the house. We try and group them all in one area is what we do. So they're, you know, they can't always take them out of the house or in the garage. So we try and find another spot for them. So that's how we do that. And we just make sure that everything's perfect. The other analogy I give them is, it's like a man with a black suit, but he has one piece of fluff on his lapel. Don't you all stare at it? Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. And if it didn't make a difference, you would stare at it, but everybody does. So that's what we do for you. We actually take away all those things that make people want to click through and see the next listing and get away from yours. And so that's what we do. We actually pay attention to all those details.
That's amazing. I have one final question for you. But before we do, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show today, because I know your time is very valuable and I can't tell you how appreciative I am. And can you tell our listeners where they can find your business?
All right. I have a blog, which they should probably start with there. And it's my name, michellefinnamore.com. I have a website that is advantagestaging.ca, and then I'm on Facebook as well under my name, Michelle Finnamore. You can always find me there. LinkedIn, same thing.
Cool. And we'll link to all this on the show notes as well. So my final question for you is, are there any, what is the one tip you always give to the homeowner when it comes to home staging?
The one tip I always give them. Open the draperies. They need to extend their rods so that the draperies are actually on the wall and not on the window. It makes the room look amazingly larger immediately, and lets light in. Two most important things. And when I do it with people, they cannot believe how much bigger their bedroom just became or their dining room. And it's a perception thing. It's the same size square footage, but it is remarkable what that one thing does.
That's amazing. I love that tip.
Okay.
No, it's true. A lot of times people are like, should we just take the drapes down? Especially they have drapes that have been there for 10 years. You know, 20 years or 10 years, and they never been changed.
We take those ones
down.
Just
take those down. Because it just makes it look
so much
bigger.
Yeah, we just take them down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's what we do as well. We do have a very incredibly inexpensive source for rods and draperies in our area. So if they do insist on having draperies because they need privacy, then this is where we tell them to go to pick them up. If they want us to pick them up, we charge them a sourcing fee for doing that, but we're very happy to do it. So yeah, that's the number one thing, is make that room look as big as you can. I want everybody to try it in their own home, even if they have to, and you will see what a difference it makes.
Hey, so that's it for today's show. I hope you have learned a lot from Michelle. She is a wealth of information and a true leader in the home staging business. I also want to quickly clarify about remodeling. I think most of the time when clients approach Michelle because of her construction and full service background for her home staging business, she can handle the remodeling of their project because the timeline that they have. The reason why I generally advise no, you'll hear this, I say this in previous podcast episodes and also on our blog, is usually when most of the times when a client come knocking on my door, they're about 1 to 2 weeks out of their on-market process. So their time frame is a lot shorter. So that's why I usually advise remodeling unless I see something serious that they have to take care of, like a foundation crack or, you know, like uneven flooring, that kind of thing. Then I would discuss this with the client. So I hope that clarifies the difference of opinions between Michelle and I. So thank you so much again for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review and a rating on iTunes, SoundCloud, or Stitcher. This will help others to find our show and keep it going. As usual, feel free to ask any questions on the show notes or our private Facebook group. You can find the show notes by going to www.stagefromore.com/podcast. So that's it. Have a fantastic week and happy staging.